Perek Vav, Mishnah Beis. As we had said in the beginning of the Perek, the beginning first Mishnah in the Perek, that this Perek starts out with a focus on the level of Shmira necessary in order for someone to be exempt from any chiyuvim with respect to the mazik of his mamon, the hezek of his mamon, particularly Shein and Regel. The Mishnah continues on here, Mishnah Beis, Hinicha Bechama. So what happens if, even though he did the proper Shmira in terms of locking up the animal, the sheep, in the barn properly, meaning it could be able to stand up to a Ruach Mitsuya, an ordinary wind, but what he did though was he left the animal out in the hot sun, and this obviously agitated the animal. Or he handed it over, the animal, not to a person who is considered a responsible type of individual, but he handed it over to someone, his animal, to a cheresh shota v'katan, and it was one of these people he gave it over to watch the animal for him. He yasa v'zika, and the animal escaped from the barn, let's say, because it got all agitated and freaked out, and the sheep was able to break out because it got so crazy. So there's a level of shia and negligence that's on his part, in the sense that he left this animal out there. So the gate, true, is strong enough to withstand a ruach mitsuya, but not to withstand an animal that's freaked out, and he caused this animal to freak out by putting it in the sun. Not only that, the scenario of giving it to someone who's not reliable, to give it to a chayre shote v'katan, is not considered someone with das to have a proper shmira, to give a proper shmira to the animal. So he's going to be chayv, because his shia was involved here. But if he handed it over, the animal, to another roeh, to another shepherd who had das, so nichtas roeh tachto. So this roeh, this shepherd, he is now halachically in the place of the owner of the animal, and it's now the roeh, the shomer, who is chayiv to pay for any hezek that ensues. The owner is no longer chayiv, because he took care of the behema by giving it over to someone who is reliable. Now, the Gemara in Bava Kamma is a little concerned the fact that, if you remember, in Perek Dalet, Mishnah Tes, he already had these halachas. What's being added over here? So the Gemara points out that the Mishnah here is referring to a specific, unique case where the owner gives over his sheep to a roeh, to a shepherd, and then that roeh gave it over to his, let's say, assistant, his roeh, to watch. And the basic halacha is that if the owner of an object entrusts someone to a shomer, then the shomer hands it over to another shomer. It was called shomer shemasa l'shomer. It's the first shomer that is really responsible, not the second shomer. So then why is the second shomer going to be responsible here? So the Mishnah explains, the Gemara explains, that our Mishnah is teaching that although normally we say shomer shemasa l'shomer, it's the shomer who gives it over who's going to be responsible, not the shomer who took over for the shomer. Here, it's different because it's standard practice for a roeh to give over his sheep to mini roehs, to assistants, assistant roehs, associate roehs, assistant shepherds. And therefore, the original owner of the sheep, he expects this to happen, and there's an assumed and presumed acceptance on the part of the owner that the roeh will give it over to someone else, and therefore, it's okay. And therefore, when it says Misroa Misara Leroe, it means that the first Roe hands it over to a second Roe, his assistant, and the second Roe takes the place of the first one. This is actually all spelled out in a very short term by the Bartanura. If you notice the Bartanura, Nichnas Haroa Tachtov, he says Velo Amrinan Bekaigabna Shomer Shemasa the Shomer Chayiv. This is exactly what we said. Again, it's based on the Gemara. The Bartanura is just going with the assumption established by the Gemara. It happens to be Gemara on Nun Vav and Beis in Bava Kamma. The Mishnah now continues, and it actually also continues on with halachas that we're familiar with that was brought up in different contexts earlier in the Masechta. Check out Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis. So the Mishnah now continues, and it says as follows. Nafal gina benenis. If what happens is, if the behema fell into a gina, into a garden of someone else, and there are obviously crops there growing, and it damaged the crops, benenis, and the animal benefited from the damage that it caused. For example, let's say the crops cushioned the sheep when it fell and saved it from injury, or let's say that's in terms of regel, but in terms of shein, let's say the sheep ate the crops and it was good for it. So if it got hanah, mishalem es mashenenes. So he's chayiv to pay the hanah that got from the crops. He's not chayiv to pay for the nezek because he had done, the owner or whoever had done, the proper shmira of the animal. This is considered like an onus. Therefore, he's not responsible. The owner is not, or in the case of the roa, not responsible for any damage, assuming that the shmira was a proper shmira. But they still have to pay for hanah. Because even though the owner doesn't have to pay for the damage, we already learned that there's this general halacha that whenever someone benefits from property of another person, and there is some level of loss, this is what's called zenene v'zechaser, on the part of the one that he was nene from, so it's zenene v'zechaser, so the owner of, let's say, the behemoth here, he has to minimally pay for that hanah, even though he doesn't have to pay for hezek because he's not responsible for hezek. Now, exactly how it's calculated, the benefit that the sheep actually gets, it really depends on how the crops were damaged. If they were eaten, the sheep's owner has to pay what it would have cost him to feed his animal with cheap animal food. If they were crushed by the sheep's fall, the owner is liable for the amount he would have paid to cushion his animal's fall and prevent it from being injured. Here he discusses this on Zayin Amud Beis. Mishnah continues, Yardar kedarcha v'hizika, but if it wasn't an accident, but rather the animal he just took down there, and the animal without a proper shmira went and damaged, didn't fall into the gina. And if nafla l'gina means he was doing a proper shmira, but the animal just accidentally fell into it. Here, the animal was not washed properly, it went into the gina, mishalemes ma shehizika. So he has to pay the full value of what it damaged, because, once again, he was hosheya. Ketzad mishalemes ma shehizika. So now the Mishnah is going to explain how do we assess the damage done to a crop. So now you have to understand the food. It's not just a question of, let's say, the food or the tomatoes. Because the tomatoes or whatever it is, or the tavua, is still attached to the ground. So kesad mishalem es mashe zika. So how does one pay for, let's say, the wheat that it ate? It's still attached to the ground. Shamin beisah bosa sada kama haisa yafa. Bekama yafa. We go ahead and we assess how much a beisah, which is a decent-sized area, significant area, it's about 2,500 square amos, which would mean, let's say, 50 by 50 amos, nice size area. He assess how much a beisah of land in that sada was worth before the hezek, bekama yafa, and how much it's worth after the hezek. And that's what the owner of the behemah hamazik will pay. He'll pay that difference. That's the hezek. The reason why he's not chayiv for the peros themselves that were eaten is because this tana maintains that as long as it's attached to the ground, so we don't assess the food as a tomato or as a piece of wheat, but rather agav, the whole sada. So it's an assessment of the damage to the sadeh. Rabbi Shimon Omer, he makes the following distinction. He says, achla peros gemurim, if the produce was already ripe and ready to undergo katsira, harvesting, so then, mishalemes peros gemurim. Then, what Rabbi Shimon holds is that he's going to pay only the value of that which was eaten, this ripe produce. Imsa asayim. If he ate asa, he pays asa. If he ate asayim, he pays asayim. Because what Rabbi Shimon basically holds is that once the produce is already ripe and no longer needs the nourishment from the ground, so then the value of the produce is assessed by the produce itself and not agav, not in relationship to the field. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's only the unripe produce, which still needs to be attached to the ground, that is what is assessed according to the value of the land.